I guess their meat's been cut up. If they need some milk, they'll have some milk and so forth. But we're going to get the adult version this morning. But in Romans 12, we'll start with verse 1. It says here, I beseech you. Of course, that word means beg, plead, listen, please get this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So here's our first step, is we need to present our body as a living sacrifice. And then we'll get to the theme of EBS, is verse 2. And it says, and, add this too, after you've presented your body a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world. So step number two, after you've given your life to the Lord, step number two is don't be like the world. Again, it'll be broken down for them. And then it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So again, we see the three steps here in the, as far as our introduction, is we have to present our body a living sacrifice. And so what we're supposed to do after we're saved, because it says here, I beg you, brethren, save people. If you've been saved, what you need to do is present your body a living sacrifice. And a lot of people think, well, that's just for preachers, or that's just for deacons, or that's just for Sunday school teachers. No, all Christians are supposed to say, here I am. All right. And a lot of people are scared to do that because they think, well, if I do that, he's going to send me to Africa. I'm going to be living in a hut, and I hate spiders. And so I'm not going to do that. And so, God's not going to, sneak up on you and trick you. Okay, you present me, you'll be all right. And then, aha, got them, sending them to the backs out of nowhere and scared. No. You just got to say, here am I, Lord, send me, or here am I, I present my. And so a lot of people, all people can't be preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and things like that. We have to have somebody to preach to, and we have to have somebody to be a deacon to, and a Sunday school teacher to teach to. So everybody's not going to be in those positions, but everybody, brethren, saved people, are supposed to say, okay, Lord, here I am. And we're going to see in just a second how we do this, because God can use everybody. I'm a human and a man just like y'all. But God just told me to do this part. But everybody's like, Lord, here I am. I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice. He died for us, so we ought to be able to live for Him. And so we can do that in our daily life, in our families, in our neighborhoods, and definitely in our churches, things like that. But our first step is to say, I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice. Then, once we do that, then God says, a lot of people, they try to put this one before that one. I'm going to not be like the world. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to this. I'm not going to do this. But they've never said, here am I. All right. So they're doing a good thing, but they're getting it out of order. They're getting the cart before the horse, as they say. So we present our bodies first, and then He will help us not to be like the world. And then once we get that down, because that's a hard one. I mean, I want to act like the world. I want to talk like the world. I want to go to where the world goes sometimes. That's what my flesh wants. And so it's going to be hard, so I need to have His help. And then, how do we do that? It says here, by being transformed, by the renewing of your mind. In other words, I got saved in 1977, all right? And I need to think about that often, renew my mind. I don't have to get saved again. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. I'm God's. I belong to Him. So renew your mind. And that helps you not go back to the world. And so we see the steps here. Present your body, then not be like the world, and then just stay renewing of your mind all the time. And what we're going to do this morning, I've got 3 points, but I got lots of sub-points. And so if you're a note taker, I will give you Roman numeral 1A, and you write a verse down, and write a verse down, and write a verse down, because I'm going to read them, and then we're going to go, it's going to be machine gun, okay, to get all this in here today, and so forth. But anyway, we see Roman numeral 1, it's nature. It's nature. If I surrender my body, the nature part, in its nature is surrendering our bodies as and its members. We're going to look at 2 verses. Verse 1 again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and it'll be God that'll help you do this. He'll have mercy. That you present your bodies, your whole body, a living sacrifice, holding it acceptable. So you need to be holy, you need to be acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to expect that, because He died for you. Look at verse 4. Talk about the nature, giving our body. And verse 4 says this, for as we have many members in one body. This congregation right here is known as the body of Christ here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, of course, one day when he says, come up hither, every saved person will go from their local assembly and we'll become one body there, all of its members. But your body, in other words, you can't give God your head and keep the rest of it. Or you can't give God your pinky and keep the rest of it. You can't give God your toe. I look like I'm doing the hokey pokey up here. But anyway, some of you got that. But anyway, you're supposed to give it all of its members. And that's what it says here. For as we are many members in one body. And then it says, and all members have not the same office. Okay, so my eyes look at, last night we had some pork loin. And I sliced it up thin and it was marinated. And oh my goodness, it was good. Now my eyes thought it was good. All right, but my mouth had to do the chewing, and then my belly was like satisfied. All right, and then there was all kinds of desserts there with Jessica. I mean, she can cook desserts like crazy, and so I had to have a little bit of the chocolate cake and a little bit of the strawberry. And so, but my eyes saw it, and my mouth did the chewing. But again, my belly went. Now later on that night, my belly was like, "Oh, dude, you put too much down here." But we all have different parts. So just like in this church, obviously, we have Sunday school teachers, we have preachers, deacons, we have members, we have people that come help clean, we have people that help at VBS. We all do different things, but we're supposed to present our bodies, all right, totally to the Lord. And so that's what I'm going to do. A, underneath Romans 1 is this. First thing we're going to look at that we're supposed to give to God is our tongue. Our tongue. Okay, the Bible talks about how that little bitty member, I mean, it can get a fire started that cannot be stopped. The Bible calls it a tail bearer. Did you hear? Did you see? Did you? And they'll get the gossiping going, and they'll get the lies going, and they'll think, and I mean, that thing, that little bitty member, that thing right there, can cause a mess. I mean, it can blow up. And so forth. So we've got to present that thing. Yeah, it's hard to talk about it and not use it. But you've got to do that. You got to give it to God. And so we're going to look at a couple of verses. Here's the verses underneath our tongue. It should be surrendered. First one is this, Psalm 107:2. Psalm 107:2. So in other words, this tongue that I have in between my teeth should be a testifying tongue. It's not to be a gossiping tongue. It's to be a testifying tongue. It's not to be a lying tongue, it's to be a testifying tongue. So in other words, I ought to tell the truth with it. I mean, right there, the Bible even has a verse that says, right there in between my teeth lies life and death. In other words, I can tell somebody about heaven and they'll have eternal life. I cannot and they'll have eternal death. And so it lies right there. So it should be a testifying tongue. Psalm 107:2 says this, let the redeemed the saved people, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So it ought to be talking. It ought to be saying, I am saved. I am a Christian. I do love God. I do want to serve God. It ought to be a testifying tongue. So if I present my body, here's one area that God said, okay, when you do that, I want that tongue to be a testifying tongue. And saying, God answers prayer. God will help you with that. God is awesome. God can handle anything. So it says here, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The devil wanted you to come to hell. God redeemed you from that. So that little tongue ought to testify to that. Second thing, number two underneath the tongue is this. It should be a kept tongue. Proverbs 21:23. It ought to be a kept tongue. And we're going to see some other verses about that. But Proverbs 21:23 says this. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. We've all said, you know, something. We're like, bleh, and we say it, and then we're like slow-mo, no, and we're trying to grab it and put it back in there. Why? Because, you know, somebody says, you know, do I look okay in this outfit? You know, grab it and put it back in there. Don't lie, but anyway. So we ought to keep our tongue. Be careful what you say. Sometimes if it goes across here, doesn't mean it needs to come out there. All right, we're wise. If it comes across here, we might go, that'd be funny right here. I mean, that would just be awesome. But that might hurt somebody's feelings. So I'm going to keep my tongue. Why do we do that? Because we say, Lord, here am I. I present my body. So sometimes I need to keep my mouth shut, keep my tongue from So, number three, it should be wholesome. It should be wholesome. In other words, the Bible talks about that. Out of this same tongue can come lying, and it can and come truth. It can come hate, and it can become lie. Out of this same tongue. So when we say, I present my body a living sacrifice, our tongue should be wholesome. Proverbs 15:4. Proverbs 15:4 says this, a wholesome tongue. God wants us to say right things. God wants us to say comforting things. God wants us to say helpful things. And I'm going to get bogged down. I got to get going here. So a wholesome tongue is the tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. So we can be perverted right here, or we can be wholesome right here. Okay, it's up to us. But when we say, Lord, our members should be presented to Him. Number four, it should be a soft tongue. Proverbs 25:15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Now we know the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath as well. So sometimes, and the Bible also says this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And you're like, huh? All right, what that verse means is sometimes we can just say the right thing, and I mean, it just fits. It just helps. So when we present our body, our tongue should be a soft tongue. And lastly, on our tongue, it should be a bridled tongue. It's kind of like kept. James 1:26 says, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So we got to bridle that tongue. Well, they just need to hear. Well, let God take care of it a lot of times. We ought to say, whoa, tongue. All right? And, I think I heard that joke about the horse. It was amen to make him go and praise the Lord to make him go. I mean, amen to make him stop and praise the Lord to make him go. Anybody heard that one? All right, anyway, so guy got on the horse, said amen. He's running. And he's going towards a cliff. And he's like, what was that word to make him stop? And he's like, whoa. And he wouldn't whoa. And it was stop, and he wouldn't stop. And he finally remembered, oh yeah, I guess it was amen to make him stop, praise the Lord to make him go. So he was like, amen, and the horse, right on the edge. And the guy goes, praise the Lord. Anyway, you got it, all right. But anyway, so that tongue ought to be bridled. So when we present our body, our tongue comes with it. Second member that we're going to talk about this morning, B, underneath Roman number one, is our ears. All right, our ears. And we heard a lot about an ear last night. Amen. And a couple inches over and it would have been more than that. But anyway, our ears should be surrendered. Not only should our tongue be surrendered, but our ears should be surrendered. So in other words, this is going to help us not to be like the world. If we present our body, our ears should be surrendered. A couple verses for here. Proverbs 20, verse 12. And I'll just start reading these. Proverbs 20, verse 12 says this. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, we might mention this verse again in a minute, the Lord hath made both of them. So God is the one that made these. And God is the one that made these. So they ought to be presented to Him to look at, hear what He wants us to look at and hear. Not only should it be a hearing ear, it should be an inclined ear. An inclined ear. All of us have a problem with this. An inclined ear. Just try to watch a sports game and listen to your wife at the same time. It's not possible. Okay? You have to inclined ear. I mean, you might can say, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And you don't have a clue what she's saying. All right? You're watching and you're focused. But our inclined ear should be surrendered to the Lord. It says here, my son, Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. So when we present our body to God, a living sacrifice, we're permitting our ears. Next one, Proverbs 23:12. They should be apt. Apt. And of course, Proverbs 23:12 says this, apply thy heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. In other words, we ought to be applying our ears. They ought to be apt, listening to God when you present there. And the last one is Nehemiah 8:3 says this. They should be attentive. And it says in Nehemiah 8:3, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So when you present your body a living sacrifice, you ought to have hearing, inclined, apt, attentive ears. Number three, eyes. See is eyes. Our eyes should be surrendered. Matthew 6:22. It says here that they should be single. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. In other words, only look at the light. Only look at good. Only look at God. Then it'll fill your whole body. But if your eyes are this way and that way, looking at everything, your body's going to be full of a mess. So it's not going to be easy for you to conform, not to be conformed to this world. Because you're looking at everything. You're looking everywhere. But the Bible says that our eyes should be single, looking at the light. And your body will be full of light. They not only should be full of light, they ought to be lifted eyes. Psalm 121:1. They ought to be lifted eyes. Psalm 121:1 says this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. So if you're going to be not conformed to this world and you're going to be transformed, first of all, you're going to have to present your body to God, but then you're also going to have to just look at Him. Just like the song was sung, when I don't know, I'll trust Him. I'm looking to Him. I don't see the outcome, but I'm just going to look at Him. I don't see how this is possible, but I'm just going to look at Him. My eyes will be lifted up. Number three, they ought to be bountiful eyes. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath bountiful eyes. Bountiful basically means good. In other words, they're always looking at good. Always seeing the good in people. Always looking at the right thing. When we have a bountiful eye, they shall be blessed, for he that giveth of his bread to the poor. God's going to bless us if we have a bountiful eye. Next, they ought to be seeing eyes. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. We've all heard the children's church song. They ought to be seeing eyes. Proverbs 20:12 says this, a hearing ear, we've already read it, and a seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And I'll read you three other verses real quick on the eye. Psalm 101:3. Set no wicked thing before thine eye. I mean, we're in charge of that. The Bible says right here, don't you put anything in front of your eyes. It's wicked. So it probably ought to limit some of the things that we watch. It ought to limit some of the things that we go to. Why? Because the Bible says, set no wicked thing before thine eye. Here's one, Job 31:1. I have made a covenant with my eye. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look or think on a maid? So Job said, I've made a covenant right here. I'm not looking. Why? Because Jesus said, or the Bible, the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said in the New Testament, don't even look and lust. That's what Job was saying. I've made a covenant right here. I'm going to have blinders on. I'm not going to set any wicked thing up there. Why? Because I've presented my body a living sacrifice. Next, our feet. Our feet. Not only should our mouth or our tongue and our ears and our eyes, our feet should be surrendered. Our feet should be surrendered. There's a lot of talk about feet in the Bible. Old Testament was a lot about washing them. Why? Because they wore sandals. And where did they live? In the desert. And so, toe jam city. All right, so it was wash them feet. Okay, but in the New Testament, it talks about where we go with our feet. Carrying the gospel in places that we shouldn't go. So, our feet should be surrendered. They should be, first of all, they should be clean. John 13:5-10. We won't take time to read it. But Jesus asked Peter to wash his feet. And of course, you know Peter. He always had to have some type of comeback. Oh, no, Lord, I'm not worthy to wash your feet. And then, of course, Jesus said something that put Peter in his place. And he's like, you know, I won't stop it there. I'll wash your hands and your head. I'll just wash everything. And so our feet should be clean. Number two, they should be shod. They should be shod. If you have a horse and you put shoes on them, that's exactly what this is talking about. You put shoes on a horse. But our feet should be shod. Ephesians 6:15 says this, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we ought to always have track in pocket, verse in mind, opportunity, take advantage of it. Our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel. They should be unmovable. Unmovable. Once you present yourself, it ought to be unmovable. Once you say, I'm not going to be like the world, don't have this standard of conviction and then go back away from it. In, out, up, down. No, unmovable. Psalm 121:3a says this, "And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved." So again, I wouldn't say do something because your friend did it. Don't do something because I do it. All right? Do it because the Bible says, because you presented yourself and you're like, "I don't want to be like the world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And here's what the Bible says. I've nailed that down. I'm not moving." And then it says in Romans 10:15 that your feet should be beautiful. And again, we've talked about this before, and some of you might could say, "As I would, that leaves me out." All right? I don't see how feet are beautiful. Anyway, but it says in Romans 10:15, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And again, that's not just limited to preachers. The Bible says that every Christian should preach the gospel. In other words, talk about Jesus. So our feet should be surrendered. And I believe we got a couple more here, and then we'll get to the next point. Our hands should be surrendered. They should be clean as well. Psalm 24:4. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Our hands should be clean. And of course, we talk about that. You know, my hands are clean of that. Obviously, there were some men in the Bible said, "I'm washing my hands of Jesus. Send him to Pilate. Send him over here. My hands are washed." But the Bible talks about that if we have the knowledge of the gospel and we don't give it out, that their blood shall be required at our hands. So these hands ought to be clean by giving out the Word of God and not participating in sin. Number two, they ought to be helpful hands. Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says here, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." They ought to be helpful hands. They ought to be diligent hands. Proverbs 12:24, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." In other words, we have to work. Thanks to Adam and the sweat of our brow, now we have to work with our hands. They ought to be diligent hands. Number four, they should be wonderful hands. Acts 5:12. And it says this, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought." Now, again, we can't heal anybody. We can't save anybody with these hands. But I've seen some hands of the last week or so wrought some wonderful things. I'm standing in front of one of them. This was hands and paintbrushes, but it was in somebody's hands. Stuff hanging all over this building. Somebody did some scotch tape or did some ticky-tack and put them up. All right, this week, people are going to use their hands to make crafts and to play games and to open up a book and teach them about Jesus. Our hands can wrought wonderful things once they've been presented to the Lord and not become like the world. So not only should our hands, but our mind. And you said, "I lost mine." That's the thing that I miss the most, is my mind. But anyway, our minds comes along with the body. We present our body a living sacrifice, our minds, in one of the members. "And it shall be renewed," Romans 12:2, "and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And some of you kids play with transformers, and you can make a awesome car into a mean-looking monster. And then, good thing, it can go from that mean-looking monster back to the car. Why? Because it's transformed. We present our body, and we try not to be like the world, and God will transform us into a wonderful Christian that He can use. So it ought to be renewed. Our mind should be pure. 2 Peter 3:1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write," so this was 2 Peter, and so it says here, "write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds for the way of remembrance." And so Peter was saying, hey, I want to stir up your mind. And the way you do that is by renewing it and by using it and by thinking. It'll stir you up. Number three, it should be stayed on God. Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So we saw here real quickly, I tried to go through that as fast as possible, and I left out some members. I hope they're not offended with me. All right, but we talked about some very important ones: our tongue, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, and our mind. When we present our body a living sacrifice, all those things come with us, and we're supposed to do that. Now, number two, we saw its nature. We give our body, our members. Now we're looking at its demands. Okay, he says here, you present your body, and here's the demands now. I don't want you to be like the world. I want you to be transformed. Here's the demands. We'll look at them real quickly. We can't transform it on our own. We can't not become like the world on our own. We need to present our body first, and then it'll demand a transformed life. A transformed life. We won't take time to read verse 2 again, but that's what it says. Now, and then the second thing it'll do, we should not only be a transformed life, we should use our talents for His glory. In verses 6 through 8, so hopefully you still have your Bible open to Romans 12 there. We're going to look at some of these verses as we finish up real quickly. So we saw, present your body, living sacrifice. Secondly, be not like this world. And the demands is, have a transformed life. Secondly, use your talents for the glory of the Lord. Now, we have examples in the Bible where this guy was given one talent, and this guy was given five talents, and this guy was given 10 talents. Of course, you know the story. They came back, the guy that had one buried it. I didn't want to lose it. And so it was taken from him and given to the guy that had 10 because he has now 20. And you use your talents for the Lord. So when you present your body, use them. I can't sing. Well, if you can't sing, find something else you can do. Do something. And it says here in verses 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So all of us in here, we have different gifts. And you see it right there in verse 6. And to the proportion of our faith. So we've got to, by faith, take those gifts and use them for God's glory. Verse 7 says this, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. And verse 8 says this, and he that exhorteth on exhortation. So he's given examples of here of people that's presented their body. They're like, I'm not going to be like the world. I'm going to let God transform me into the Christian He wants me to be. Now I have some gifts that I'm supposed to use. And if I've been given the ministering, helping out people, I ought to do that. If I've been given the teaching, I ought to teach. If I've been given the exhortation, I ought to exhort. And whatever God's given you, we ought to be giving it to Him. It says here, and Him to do it with simplicity, He that ruleth it with diligence, He that showeth mercy and cheerfulness. And so a lot of times people will say, okay, this is my gift. And it might be self-proclaimed. And what they want to do, instead of doing it with simplicity so God will get the glory, what they want to do is amp it up a little bit. All right? So that's what, okay, here's my lot, here's my body. I'm not going to be like the world. I want you to transform me. But, oh, I can do it a little bit better than you, God. And they go over and they do what they do in their own. And they make a mess of it. Why they're doing it because they want self-gratification or they want glory. No. God says, hey, present your body. Don't be like the world. I'll transform you. And whatever gift I give you, you use it. But use it with simplicity and give God the glory. Give Him the credit. And then it goes on to say that we should have a pure love. This is the man. You be a transformed person. You use your talents. And then the third thing was here, have pure love. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Okay, don't mess with it. Okay, let it be pure love. I love you because God first loved me. And that's what the Bible says to do. Then it says here, abhor that which is evil. Hey, I don't like it. Cleave to that which is good. So we ought to have a pure love. Next, verse 10, it says here, we should have affection for others. And here it is, and if you've ever raised a kid, you've probably quoted this verse a lot. If you ever were a kid, which that's all of us, we probably heard this verse a lot. Be kindly affectionate one towards another. Be nice to your sister. Be nice to your brother. Okay, and that doesn't stop just because we're adults. And that doesn't stop with just our siblings. It goes on out. Why? Because we've presented our body. We're not like the world. I've seen people be so mean to people, but I don't want to be like the world. I want to be transformed. So what do I want to do? I want to be nice to people. I want to have affection one toward another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. No, you go ahead. No, I want you to have what you want. And then, you see the flesh get involved. There's two people out in the parking lot. No, you go ahead. 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 I mean, they're fighting. I was trying to be nice. All right. We got to be careful. So, we, you know, I'm going to be nicer than you. I'm going to out-nice you. You know, don't get in a fight trying to be kindly affectionate one towards another. So we have, these are the demands once we presented our body. So that brings us to the next verse, verse 11. We should have diligence in all things. Look what verse 11 says. Not slothful. Don't be lazy. In business. Fervent in spirit. Dude, are you always so amped? Well, the Bible tells us to be. Just breathe. Take a chill pill. No. Not slothful. Fervent in spirit. We got to do this. This is what God wants us to do. I mean, chillax, preacher. I mean, come on. No. But then it says they're serving the Lord. Do it serving the Lord. So this is what it demands. If you've got that transformed body, and because it's been presented and it's not like the world, then it ought to be diligent in all things. Verse 12, what should it be? We should have instant prayers available for anybody. Of course, we talked about that this morning. Hey, let's pray for brother so-and-so, or I have a relative, or I have somebody that's in the hospital. A lot of times, we don't have prayers available. And I'll do this as fast as I can. Because if we haven't presented ourselves, and we're like the world, and we haven't been transformed, we have to get all that taken care of before those prayers can be available. If we regard iniquity in our heart, God doesn't hear our prayers. I mean, if we're worldly as all get out, I mean, how's God going to hear our prayers? So we have to have them available. This is a demand. I've presented my body. I'm not like the world. I've been transformed by God. So verse 12 says this, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer. I'll pray for you. And again, you're not going to go to the guy that you got drunk with last night and say, hey man, pray for me. No, you're going to go to the one that you made fun of at work because he's Bible Bob. You know, and he's right with God and he's different. That's who you're probably going to go ask for prayers because you know they might get through. And so that's what it's talking about here. If I'm going to be presented and not be like the world and I'm going to be transformed, people are going to say, hey, I need you to pray for me. And we need to be that way so we can pray for them. Verses 13 through 15, it says here, we should have generosity. Generosity, that person is presented and not like the world and they've been transformed, they're going to be generous. In verses 13 through 15, it says this, distributing to the necessities of the saints. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? You need this, I'll help you. When you need this, I'll help you. I can help with that. I can help with that. This is a person that's been presented, not like the world, transformed. They're going to always be going around helping people. I mean, I've been here a year and a half now and seen a lot of you. That's what you do. You pray for people. You go and help them. You take them places that they can't get themselves. You help. That's what this is, distributing necessity to the saints. Brother so-and-so needs prayer. Let's pray for him. Brother so-and-so or Miss so-and-so needs a ride. I'll go give him one. That's what they do. It says they're given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. If they curse you, have a nice day. God bless you. Bless and curse not. Don't curse back. Well, I got some that I can raise. You know, now. Anyway, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Quoted that earlier. It says here in verse, that's all we're going to do right there. So that's we will, the demand of this transformed life will have generosity. The next, it'll have humility. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. And so we see here that consent there to the men, that was mean associate with them humbly. I get it. I understand. So you humble yourself in helping people. Not that, hey, I've been presented, I'm not like the world, and I've been transformed, so I am your Savior. No. Humble. I'm just human. I just presented myself, and I try not to be like the world, and God's the one that helps me to be like this. And so I'm not telling you I got it all figured out. I'm not telling you I've apprehended and arrived. I'm humble, trying to help. And also we need to be, it should be honest. Verse 17 says here, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. We ought to have honesty when we've been transformed. Next, we ought to have peace with our fellow man. Verse 18, if possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. You don't know my neighbor. No, the Bible says here, if possible, you be at peace with all men. But you just don't understand. That's why the Bible says, if possible. Right? Even Paul and Barnabas, two preachers. They had to agree to disagree and go the opposite way. Why? Because it says, if possible. Hey, we're supposed to try. If we've been presented and we're not like the world and we've been transformed, we ought to try our best to live peaceable with all men. Verse 19 and 20, we should have love for our enemies. Woo, it's getting harder. The only way you can do this is if you've been presented, you're not like the world, and God's transformed you. And it says here, verse 19, dearly beloved, you saved people that presented your body a living sacrifice. You're not like the world, and God's transformed you. You'll be able to say, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So a person that's been presented, not like the world, and transformed can say, God, I'm just going to give you this situation. I'm not even worried about it. I'm going to let you take care of it. And our flesh wants to get even and get ahead and show people. But a transformed person will just say, God, you take care of it. Because I'll just make a mess of it. I'll just make it worse. I'm just going to let you have it. And lastly, look at verse 21. It says here, the demand is, I want you to have the victory. That's what parents say to kids. I taught you this way because I want you to have a good life. I raised you like this because I want God to bless you. I did this because I want. So God's like, look, present your body, all those members we talked about, give them all to Him. Then you don't be like the world, and you just let me transform you into what I want you to do. Why? Because I want you to have the victory. Verse 21 says this, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. God's like, I told you to present your body, don't be like the world, let me transform you and help you with all those things. Why? Because I want you to have the victory. So we see here, it's our reasonable service to present our body. It's our reasonable service not to be like the world. It's our reasonable service to let God transform us into what He wants us. So that's its nature, its demands, and lastly, and again, this is just real short, its results, the victory. Look back at verse 1. It will be by God's mercies, not our efforts. Again, sometimes we see that, we hear that, and say, I want to be like that. I want to be super Christian. And so I'm going to. Let God do it. It'll be by God's mercies. Here's the results. Next, verse 3. It will be by faith, not our efforts. We've been talking about that on Sunday night. I think I got another one for Sunday tonight as well on faith. But verse 3 says this, last part of it. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, beseeching ourselves is going to take faith. Not being like the world is going to take faith. Letting God make us into what He wants us is going to take faith. So it's not by our efforts, it's by God's mercy. It's by our faith in Him. And lastly, verse 19. It will be because our confidence is in God and His Word, not our efforts. Look at verse 19 again. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, there it is, it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So we see here, it is written, saith the Lord. All that right there was written. Hey, what you need to do is present your body. Here I am, God. Now, according to this Bible and according to what I've been taught and raised, I don't need to be like the world. But I want you to transform me. I can't transform me. I need you to do it. So our reasonable service is to present our body and be not like the world and let God transform us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, there's a lot going on, Lord, with people of our church, like Brother Marvin in the hospital, not doing very good at all. God, we know we can pray for him and you can touch him. Lord, then we got VBS coming up. Lord, lots of efforts went into it. Lots of prayers have went into it. There's kids out there that's never heard that Jesus loves them. There's kids out there that have had the seed planted and they haven't been saved yet. Lord, there's all kinds of things going on. But Lord, what we can do individually is say, all right, I'm going to present my body. I'm not going to be like the world. And I'm going to let God transform me so I can pray for somebody like Brother Marvin. I'll be involved in something like VBS. And God can give me the victory so I can stand before Him one day and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation. Altar's open. If you'd like to come pray for Brother Marvin, if you'd like to come pray for VBS, if you'd just like to come say, "Lord, I don't know that I've ever presented my body," here it is. Brother Derek.